Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Getting It Out podcast. That was Medicinal with Broken Glass. And that track appears on their recently released split EP with Kirby Kiss. Kirby Kiss, of course, is the subject of this episode of the podcast and has been on a previous episode as well. Which number was it? I don't know. You have to look it up. But Medicinal and Kirby Kiss make great bedfellows. So why not pair them up one more time right here on Getting It Out podcast? If you're unfamiliar with the band, they are from New York, New York, and feature ex or current members of a lot of bands, most notable of which I would say are Helen of Troy, Kill Your Idols, CR, and probably Celebrity Murders. There's a handful of other bands that they list as ex or current members of, and you can parse through that on your own fucking time, pal. What do they sound like? They sound like what you just heard. It's all really that simple. I do quite enjoy their three songs on this split. It's out now, released officially on March 1st through Council Records. And I do believe that physical copies are now available somewhere on the internet, maybe from the band, definitely from Council Records. One of the few labels still selling 7 inches for less than $10. So they got that going for them. And that's a great reason for you to dig in and pick up this 5-song split 7-inch. If you need more convincing, allow this episode to be a commercial for just that as I have a conversation with Michael Shepherd of Kirby Kiss. That second K is silent no matter how much you want to say it. You know, I used to have a whole bit about the letter K and how they're the least essential letter of the alphabet. It only does things that other letters do. A lot of times silent, and often a C could have done the trick. But you know, we don't got to get into all that right now. We've got a podcast episode to do. So let's go to New Jersey, check out Hot Zone, and then stay in New Jersey for my conversation with Michael Shepherd of Kirby Kiss.
Kick it! Make family out of friends! Make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family! Make friends till they bury all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We be getting it in! Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We'll be getting it in! Where you getting it out?
I don't know about you, but I'm tired of having to prove myself to computers. Every time I log into something, make sure you establish that you're not a robot. What is that? Why do we have to do that now? I understand why we have to do it, but I don't want to do it. Here's a CAPTCHA. How many bicycles do you see? Well, define bicycle, computer. I just had to do one minutes ago where it wanted me to find the fire hydrants. I'm just saying, I don't like having to do a Where's Waldo every time I want to log in to check my balance. I'm not typically strapped for time, but say I was. If it were an emergency and I'm flustered and I can't find the fucking fire hydrant, lives could be at risk until I solve this little puzzle. I hate when I get flustered and I have to remind myself sometimes to slow down. When I get flustered, I start dropping things. When I'm in a rush, when I'm in a hurry, when I want to go, when I feel like I got to get out of here, my phone, my car keys, my wallet, they suddenly become coated in castor oil and I have a hard time holding on to them. I got to consciously tell myself, slow the fuck down. Maybe that's some advice I should take lately with this fucking podcast. Why am I saying fuck so much? I apologize. Let me tone it down a bit. Last week, 4 episodes. This week, 3 episodes. And don't get me wrong, I love it. I love doing it. It's a good time. Releasing a lot in a week actually helps me catch up on the interviews that I've done that I've been sitting on. This episode is an example of that. I'm not sure how long ago I interviewed Michael Shepherd of Kirby Kiss, though I don't think it was that long ago. I had been talking to him about doing it for quite a few months, actually. You may remember he has appeared on a previous episode to also speak about Kirby Kiss. And I hope you've noticed my glowing opinions of the band on previous episodes when I've played their songs or whatever. Because I've got a lot of respect for Michael Shepherd and Kirby Kiss. And I'm always happy to check out what they got going on. And if he wants to talk, hey man, just let me know. Let's do it. And that's what this is. There's a seemingly endless stream of music coming from the band based out of New Jersey. And we talk a little bit about that. Are they as prolific as I think? I don't know that we ever came to a verdict, but let's just say that they are. Would you like to hear a song from the band? Would you like to be reminded of how awesome that they are? I'm sure you would. So let's play the first track off of their split with Medicinal. This is Shadow People, and then my conversation with Michael Shepherd.
Besides, everyone dies all by himself.
Last time we talked, how many years ago was that? Was it just 2?
Feels like it. I mean, I don't know if Ouroboros, like the 7-inch, was out yet.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was just, it's going to cost you.
Yeah. So a good amount of time.
Yeah. So tell me then, what's new? What has changed? You just mentioned something, some lineup stuff. I didn't bother to look. Tell me what has changed since the last time we spoke about Kirby Kiss.
Well, since last we talked, we did have a member change, but we have a new bass player now. His name is Tommy. He's actually plays in some other bands. He's actually in a band called Bless Our Minds, which you would know because I think you just had Brian on.
I did. We're talking basketball
podcast, right?
That's right. Yeah.
As soon as I saw you put the ad up for the basketball thing, punks who like basketball, I put his name right in there. I was like, Brian.
He's perfect. He's the only person I've had on so far. A lot of people have said they're going to do it and then they bow out at the right time. But he's a impassioned New York Knicks fan.
Yes, so it was fun. He loves basketball very much. So I knew as soon as I saw your post that he would love to do it. And so he's the singer of obviously, well, now also Hundreds of AU, but he's also the singer of Lesser Minds. And Tommy is the bass player of Lesser Minds. So he is also our bass player. And Tommy's also in a band called the Police Navidad.
That's funny. That's a funny name.
It is. It's a good name.
I like that. Well, so yeah, I always have noticed that you guys kind of had a connection with several bands over that way. I say over that way, and I'm going to do the same thing that I always do when I talk about New Jersey and gesture to my right, even though you can't see me. I always gesture to my right when
We're on the right coast.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, I like that. I don't want to use the word incestuous, but you know what I'm saying? You guys, you got your circle of people and that's cool.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to, you get like people who you feel kindred spirit with, I guess. So, but yeah, New Jersey is, I think, pretty, New York as well, like pretty, I mean, I guess the whole tri-state area, it's like pretty infamous for like everybody being in like many bands with each other. I don't really have that in me. I'm a one band guy, I think.
Well, that makes sense though, because you put a lot of work into Kirby Kiss. You do most of the artwork too, is it right?
I do. I do all the artwork. I mean, the band, don't get me wrong, it's not like, you know, I don't have control over it all. Like, sure. Everything has to be run through them. Like, you know, everyone gets a say. Like, we're very democratic that way. That has never changed. You know, like I submit ideas to them the same way I would any client that I'm doing album artwork for, or flyers, or even in my normal job, like, you know, boring bank shit.
Oh, the old classic. I was thinking, I know you and I were just talking about work stuff before we started recording here, but you don't need to talk about yours, but I'll talk about mine a little bit. The standard design of things. I was thinking about it today while doing something for letterhead and business cards. I was like, these fucking things look the same every time, and they have for years. Are they ever going to change? And I don't think they will.
You know, there's a lot of like that mentality is that if it's not broke, don't fix it. But
that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's speaking of things that weren't broke, didn't need fixing. Tell me about how the sound has changed for the band, or if you think it has at all over the last year or two.
Well, I mean, and I think we talked about this the last time, you know, we don't really stay in one lane 100% anyway. We've got a lot of different influences, like in our songwriting. We all pretty much contribute to writing. So, I mean, even Nat, the singer, will, you know, because he play guitar and bass in many bands. So, like, even he will in practice pick up an instrument and be like I hear this or so. And our drummer plays guitar and bass as well. So, like, everybody contributes to writing, and we all kind of have different. Like, there's a lot of overlapping stuff that we all like, but there's definitely like a niche for each of us that we like more than the other people in the band. But I like that. It kind of creates some different, you know, different sounds. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, like when you see a live set from us, it all fits together. So I guess that's what makes it work. But I don't know if I'd like to say it's changing. I just guess I like to think that our sound's like evolving.
Yeah.
I think that does with anybody. Like, the more you play with the same group of people, you get hopefully better and tighter.
Yeah, it's a problem if it's going the other way.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think it's also part of like the influence, like the bands you play with and the bands you start to like and like see live. Like, I'm very big on that. Like I'm easily influenced, not in a like I want to sound like that band kind of way, but like I'm definitely guilty of like seeing a band and getting blown away and then like having that earworm trapped in my head or something. And like, you know, without meaning to, it's going to come out in what you're like, in what you're writing next. But I guess if I had to say, like, you know, like, feel like we're starting to experiment a little bit more with clean parts, like clean to loud parts. You know, the new split 7-inch, we definitely had some not fun, but we had some sound bites added into it, and we'd done that in the past, but like this time we actually like have one like dead center of like the song that, like, you know, plays a pretty big part of the recording. So you know, I just think we're probably getting like harder, if that's like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like Butterfly Knife Effect, which I guess a bunch of people kind of have compared a little bit to Lemurda, got like a lot of mics, like looping, looping guitars with the, like the effects and feedback on it. And, you know, they're a bit of an earworm, and they kind of layer like atmosphere under like the kind of chaos that's going on underneath of it. And, you know, Nat's pretty steady for us. His voice is pretty impressive. Like the low, like to me anyway, like the range that he comes out, like comes up with, and like, you know, it's easy for people to be like, oh, screaming. I'm like, yeah, try it yourself. Like,
yeah, I've tried it. It's not fun. It's not fun or easy.
It's definitely not easy. Like if I sing along at one show, I lose my voice for like a week. Like
yeah, that was my problem too. And I was the singer. So that's not a good thing.
Yeah. Like if I'm like, if I yell, get too excited during a show and I yell, you know, more than half a song lyrics along while we're playing, like, I'm like, it sounds like I'm sick the next day. Like,
yeah,
you know, Nat screams like that the entire set, and he's like, you know, sounds fine the next day. So yeah, I'm always impressed with his ability to control like the range in his voice and stuff, like especially when we're recording. Like I on this record in particular, the split, I think he did one of the tracks in one cut, and the second track I think two cuts. So like,
that's pretty good. That's about as efficient as you get.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, you know, we're here to work.
Yeah.
We're paying by the hour.
you mentioned the split a couple of times. Of course, you're talking about the split that's out now on Council Records with Medicinal.
Yes. Actually, got a text from Matt. The vinyl showed up on his door today.
Ah, nice. Tell me about the decision to do a split. Is this the first split for you guys? No, it's not. It's not the first. You've done like comps. Like
we did like four band comps.
Yeah.
We had like one song on a four-way split. So
I'd say this is the first split.
So this is the first true split, I
classic
guess.
Classic split. Yeah.
Yeah. The comp was last year. And the song was actually from the same, the song that was on the comp was from the same recording session as Ouroboros. So it was actually like the sixth Ouroboros track, but, that was with Wrong War, which is Matt from Council's band. Who are awesome. And then Hundreds of A, who we previously mentioned, and we love them. And then our friends and label mates Gray Cell from Philadelphia. It's a great record. But the new split is with Medicinal, which is a band from New York. That kind of came about because we met their drummer, Vinny, who's, you know, in a couple of really great bands. And he's just like, he's got an incredible love of music. Like he's super enthusiastic about the bands that he likes. And he started following us and then came to see us. And we met him out at a show in Long Island and got to talking to him a lot and kind of became friends. And then he introduced, like, I guess he kind of turned some of the other guys in his band on to us. And we all like started kind of following each other and just became like, you know, friends on social media. And then I guess when they got to the point where they were ready to start putting some stuff out, they, Matt, the singer of Medicinal, Matthew, reached out and asked if we might be interested in doing a split with them. And we weren't sure if it was going to be a split 12 inch or a split 7 inch or anything like that. You know, we talked about it as a band and we really loved those guys. So we just said yes, pretty much instantly. And, that obviously ran it by Matt and he was into doing the record. It's actually a split release between Council and our friend Ron's label from Pittsburgh, called Gene Scene Records. Gene Scene is actually putting out their 12 inch that's about to come out. I think it's coming out within the next couple of weeks, actually. So asked Ron if he wanted to do a split release and he was into it. So that's kind of how it formulated. But when it's sold, they haven't been around a super long time. This was their first release, obviously. Their members, like their drummer is he's in Gospel and several other bands whose name, I can never remember the name, so I don't want to mispronounce them. Their other guitar, Matt, the singer, was in Helen of Troy in the 90s. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but super great band. And Mike D, who is their guitar player, incredible guitar player, and a all around nice guy. He's actually in Kill Your Idols at the moment. and he plays in like 18 other bands. Nice. He's in like War Babies, and he just started a new death metal band with the drummer Vinny called Death Certificate. He's in a lot of bands. He writes a lot of music.
So a relatively new band, but with a lot of experience.
Yes.
Veterans.
Very much so. We just thought the sounds of the bands would sound really good together, which I do. I mean, it's weird to say you like your own record, but I mean, you know, I think it's a solid piece of vinyl. Like they're, I love Medicinal. They remind me of a lot of people have said this too. It's funny, but it sounds like, I don't want to sound gross, I guess, but like, what did one person say? He said, it sounds like Fugazi fucked Born Against.
That's a good like, comparison.
Yeah. I was like, I'll take that all day. I was like, but I definitely get Born Against feels from them, and I love Born Against. So, but they're a little more, I think, progressive than that. But yeah, I mean, I assume you've had a chance to listen.
Yeah, of course. Quite a bit, actually. And their tracks are good. They have three songs, I think, and you have two.
Yes.
What I was surprised by with you, not surprised, I shouldn't say that. I wasn't surprised, but to me, the new Kirby Kiss songs sounded a little more melodic than the stuff you've done before.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Shadow People's really melodic.
I don't know, man. I don't know how I mean it. I'm using the word melodic, but maybe it's not the right word for it. I don't know. I just listened again. Like I was trying to like verify this for myself. Am I hearing it right? I went for a run earlier today and listened to like your entire discography, which is thankfully easy, pretty easy to do.
Thank you, I guess.
No, I mean that.
I know
that
what you meant.
Take a lot of time. Not that it's a painful thing to do.
I got you.
Yeah. And so I guess when I compare the earlier stuff to now, it feels more melodic to me. But I also have a terrible year, so I could be wrong.
No, I don't. I think you're right. I mean, you know, Shadow People to me is like really hard and straightforward.
Yeah.
And like almost like intense. And then that fits it because it's a song about Mike Ramirez, our other guitar player. He actually Nat typically writes all the lyrics onto all the songs, but Mike actually wrote the lyrics and the root riffs like that. That's basically his song. He wrote the music. You know, obviously you write your own parts, but Mike wrote the music to it and he wrote the lyrics, gave it to Nat to like fast together. And Nat really didn't change it much. So it's a really personal song for Mike. It's about his father passing. So it's like, you know, super intense. And then I kind of like to feel like it's like a 1-2 punch because that song's like super, super hard. And then, yeah, like Butterfly Knife Effect is definitely a lot more melodic and kind of a bit of a roller coaster ride. I don't want to say epic, but I think that's what we were going for.
I think that fit for your style. I think calling it epic would be appropriate. You got the audio clip in there from the guy whose name I always forget, but I've heard him in a lot of songs. Who is he?
So that's Charlie Chaplin. Which soundbite are you talking
about? I'm talking about the latter one, I guess. The
one that's in the middle of Butterfly Knife Effect is Charlie Chaplin. What's the name of the movie? Oh my goodness. Damn, I can't remember the name of the movie now.
That's all right. I don't need facts here. This is what I always tell people. We can lie. We can make things
We can
up.
Lie. So it's the movie he did. I think it's called Mystic Pizza. I think it's called The Dictator.
I think you're right, actually. I think that's correct.
Yeah. So the soundbite in the beginning is from one of my favorite 90s movies, Reality Bites. So. But yeah, I do. You know what he's talking about in that clip fits the what the song is about really, really well, and the tone of his voice and our engineer who mixed us and recorded us, he cut it up and put it like perfectly into the mix there. So
it doesn't sound good, and you know that's a. I don't want to say. I think calling it an art is a bit ridiculous, but it's a skill to weave those types of things into songs that is over or not appreciated enough. I'm trying to say it's hard to do correctly. It's hard to do well. It's hard to do so it sounds like it's actually part of the song. And I think it was achieved on Butterfly Knife Effect.
Thank you. Yeah. Ben Karras recorded that for us. And he also, he mixed it and engineered all of it. He also did the last thing we released that song Move. That was our first recording with Ben, but we like him. He's a great guy and he knows what he's doing for sure. He's got a really great ear for what we want to sound like. I think like he, it was the first time working with someone who like, basically we like, you know, a lot of like in our scene and in this like style of music, you get to like be a little more hands-on with the mixing. Like you typically like sit there and like mix with the person. And when we were done like track and Move and these songs, like Ben was just kind of like, all right, well go home. And you know, so it's like more of like a producer, and that's like a nice kind of thing, like to like walk away from it and then have like someone tell you what they think they should, how they think it should sound, like what they feel like it should sound like. And then you kind of hear that and make your tweaks from there. And, you know, when Ben comes back to us, his first mixes are usually pretty close to what we're like usually pretty happy with the first cut. So, you know, there's always going to be a little tweaking, but
yeah. How did you find him?
So, strange, weird connection. I mean, he's obviously in our music scene, very much, but, he is the husband of my wife's coworker. Like she has a partner at her job. So like, you know, because we share a desk, me and my wife at work, like we work from home, we're always kind of talking. And I guess his wife mentioned that I was in a band, like Amanda's husband was in a band. And Ben like checked it out and reached out to me and basically said, he's like, hey, I record and I think I could do like a good job with you guys. I'd love to, you know, to try and do something. So we gave it a shot with Move and we were, you know, super happy with the way it came out.
It could have been disastrous.
It could have. Well, I guess. I mean, you never have to use it. You can always be like, oh, that was fun, you know.
I know, but it could have had a ripple effect into the workplace. It could have been terrible. Oh.
Yeah, I guess it could have. Yeah. I guess it's good we get along. Yeah. But one of the things with Move too is and with all the other stuff that Chris did is great, and I love Chris, and he did a great job. It's, you know, you like to just record with other people, like more than one person. It's kind of fun experience to try different people. But we get a lot of compliments from the production for Ben, the work that he did. We appreciate him, you know, very much.
It sounds great. Yeah. And but I want to echo what you just said there, where you want to record with other people. My old band recorded with the same person twice and that's it. And I very much wish we would have done somebody different the second time. Not because the guy's bad. The guy's great. His name's Kevin Bernstein at Developing Nations in Baltimore. And he does a ton of awesome records. He's pretty well regarded, you know, in a certain sound, but his sound wasn't ours. So I would have been interested to hear us come through somebody else, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all have like a little list of people we'd love to record with.
Yeah.
But for now we're happy with Ben. So, we're writing a 12 inch right now. And I think, you know, we definitely intend to record it with him.
Nice. Nice. Well, I was going to ask you that. So I'm glad you brought it up. So you released the split digitally a couple of weeks ago, like a month ago, almost. Why do the digital before the physical?
So I think what we did is we did a pre-order for the record because we knew that it was coming pretty quickly. You know, like the world is kind of out of that hole.
Yeah,
nobody knows when we're getting. Yeah, nobody knows when you're getting your records anymore.
Yeah.
Like our first record took like 16 months or something.
Oh yeah, that's right. I ordered that. And then just, that was among the records that I started doing my unboxing videos on Instagram because I didn't know what I ordered.
Yeah, you anymore. Did an unboxing of that one.
Because sure. It was, because there were so many records that I had ordered that I was just like, well, I don't know what's going to show up and what it's going to be. And so I would just surprise myself. And that was, it's going to cost me one of them.
Yeah. The world was just really backed up and hard to get materials. And it was a crazy time, but this one was really quick. We, like from start to finish, it was like less than 3 months. So,
wow.
Like,
that is fast.
Not from the recording part of it, but once the art and the submission were through, it was really, really fast. So, once we knew that the records were going to be about a month away, Matt likes to do Matt from Council, Matthias Weeks likes to do a pre-order. You know, I don't know. I don't think everyone loves pre-orders. Like, so I think some people hold off until the. I think there's still some people that are like damaged from the whole if I order this, it might not show up for a year. So I think some people, but it's also like you're excited to release stuff, you know, like, so it's like sometimes the waiting is hard. So, and because it was a split and it was just two songs, we were like, oh, what, like, are you going to do, like, you know, a lot of people do where it's a single. So like, oh, we're releasing one single, but we only have two songs on. So we're like, when are we going to release a single? Like, here's half of the record.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So, so on the first Bandcamp Friday, which was, I guess, March, I forget the date, but it was about a month ago. We did the pre-order start, knowing, like, being able to tell people, you know, we promise the record's going to be shipped to you, you know, at the end of the next month. And then at that point we figured, well, if people can listen to it digitally, we might as well let it go out streaming. You know, I think with the vinyl, I love vinyl personally, but I think the world right now is there's a lot of kids that just stream music. So I think we just wanted to make it available. And then I think the people who want like a physical, you know, a tangible product will pick it up.
They'll come get it.
Afterwards, you know, yeah. Or, you know, get it, pick it up at shows, et cetera. Right. I mean, I still like that. I like having the art and the, you know, hold it in your hands and read the lyrics. And
oh, I do too. I want.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Physical of everything. I want too much. Like I have to, I'm actively making myself put stuff on Discogs because I just want more and more and more, and I'm overloaded. And yeah, so I got to unload some.
My wife is a collector too. So we have quite the collection.
My wife is not a collector, but she encourages my collecting. And so it's just, it's very nice. Yeah. She's all in. She believes if you're going to like do it, then do it, you know?
Nice. So, but then are you one of those people that's like you've got every color of every.
No, record? I do not care about that at all. Yes. I just want one version of the records I like.
Yeah. I will argue this forever, but the vinyl sounds better. It does. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I agree. Especially if you have a good.
Yeah. System. If you've got a good turntable and especially like the 12-inch was done at Smashed Records, and Smashed Records, like their records sound so good. Like, you know, the sound quality that comes from that giant piece of vinyl that they use. It's like a half an inch thick. And I remember like hearing our own record for the first time and hearing things that I didn't even hear that before.
Dude, I will never understand. I've read things, I've watched things. It's been explained to me the way a record works and how, but the science is not science. Is it science? I don't know. The way a record science, makes, right? Yeah. The way it makes sound is never, ever, ever going to make sense to me, but I love what it does.
Yeah. I don't fully like grasp it either. Speaking of the first 12 inch, the graphic of the lyric sheet is actually a picture of like, it's like a million, like, not microscope, like tele, yeah. Microscope, like photo.
Yeah.
Of like a needle, like in the groove, and it looks like mountains because that's how big it is. But like, I've always been fascinated with that. Like, you know, like if you take a pin and wrap like a piece of paper around the edge of it and tape it like a cone.
Yeah.
You can like put that on a record that's spinning and the sound will come out of the cone.
Oh yeah, you can hear like when I don't, before I turn on or if I turn off my receiver for some reason, you can hear the record
yeah
coming off of the table. You can hear that, like it's It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Like, how the fuck does that work? I don't know.
I mean, I think that's similar, like the old style, like where there was like a, like the RCA dog with like the big horn sticking out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's come a long way since then, but
yes, I'm glad it works and sounds great and looks cool though. I mean, I love having it in my hand, just like you said. And that's what keeps me coming back.
Yeah. And then whatever, like just like the collector part of it, like you said, like it's funny to me, like some, like there's some older records that, you know, you just love to have. And, you know, depending on what your like musical tastes were growing up, or just the nostalgia of like, a band you played with, or a memory that you saw, like, you know, I still have like this like little bucket list of records that I'm looking for on Discogs, you know.
I was looking for some recently. Go ahead. Tell me about it.
No, go ahead. I was just yesterday, I was actually looking on Discogs, but the prices were all too high. I'm trying to acquire a copy of the fear. It's called the Fear of Smell comp, which was like, Sam McFeeters from Born Against label.
Ah, I've never heard of it.
It's got everyone on it that like, you know, mattered at that time. Like in the '90s, it's got like Rorschach, Native Nod, like, you know, Born Against, Merrill, like Nation Ulysses are on it. Like, but it's filled with all this ridiculous, like sound bites and stories and crank phone calls. And it's just like the funnest record ever. And then the first pressing of it, every single record jacket was handmade. It's just like a white sleeve, and they like some of them are like literally, it looks like a child spray painted Fear of Smell on it with like, and it's terrible looking. And then some of them are like these elaborate collages that look like they took hours, and like, you know, there's like stuff glued to it. So it's like, you know, everyone's record looks different. So I was eyeing them on Discogs last night, but I'm not ready to pull the trigger.
Are they outrageous?
No, not super outrageous. I think there was one up there for about $70 with shipping included. So
okay, yeah, it's not too bad. It'd take me a lot of consideration to spend that money on, but I get it. I've done it.
It's not, but see, and then I started talking myself out. I'm like, that's kind of expensive for like just wanting a connection to a memory or whatever. And then I'm like, well, I mean, during the pandemic, I spent like 35, I'm not going to name the band, but like I spent $35 on one 12 inch after shipping. Like, cause I like was too far in. Like I started buying it. And then like by the end, I was like, what? It was like when you buy tickets on Ticketmaster and you're like, oh, tickets are $50. And then at the end, you're like, why am I spending $170 now?
Yeah, man, the fucking the extras, the shipping. I understand how much it costs to ship stuff, right? Because I ship my own things, but
yes,
high shipping costs is the quickest way for me to not buy something. Like that's like when I get to that part and it's going to cost me, I don't know, even if it says $7 to ship a record, I know how much it costs to ship a record. It doesn't cost $7 to media,
it doesn't cost a record. To ship like, a record now.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
I think sometimes they're charging you for the time and the packaging and
whatever. Yeah, that's fair, but at the same time, no, I'm not doing it. That's
I know as a band, like my ethos and our the band's ethos is we try and keep things and it's part of what I love about Matt and Council Records is that's his ethos too. Is like, you know, this isn't a money making business. You know, it's punk. Like, so I like being able to keep the record lower in cost and keeping the shipping. Like I actually figure out what the shipping cost. I don't like consider the time it takes me to wrap it and then charge someone an hourly rate.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'd rather make the record as cheap as possible so that people, you know, are happy to get it.
Well, that's kind of why I brought it up. Cause I see, I actually have the web store open right now for Council, and it is, everything's reasonably priced. And
yeah, Matt really tries.
There's certain labels that clearly do that. I always bring up Hex Records as one that like clearly prices their shit very fairly, if not generously. And Council seems right along with that.
Yeah, it's exciting when you can like, you know, put the work in and like, you know, if it's extra work because you're printing something at a different place or trying to find the right, you know, whatever, that's the most economic. Like even with the Ouroboros 7-inch, I actually handmade every single cover of that record.
Oh, that's super cool.
It was cool. The idea was cool.
No, for us, not for you. It's cool.
Yes, for other people. Matt even said, he's like, are you sure you want to do that? And I was like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I got to like 200 records out of the 500. And I like called them and I was like, so this was a stupid idea. But now I'm happy. Now that it's all done, I'm very happy with it.
Right. Well, you guys have released quite a bit of music in a pretty short amount of time. I mean, before the LP, there was what? Was it two? Would you call them demos or EPs?
Yeah. So we did two demos, in CD form, which was just like really seven songs total. We did like one had three songs and then one had four. And then when we like quote unquote signed on with Council and Matt, the 12 inches, actually those right, two CDs, right. But they're remastered and they do sound different. Like the remastered sounds better.
Yes, it does. I agree. Yeah.
And then we recorded the three extra songs to put it on there because we didn't want to be the assholes that were just reselling their own stuff in different music. So
different packaging.
So technically, I mean, it's just those 10 songs. We did Ouroboros 7-inch, which is five songs. And then we did the comp, the Aero 2 comp, which is one song. Mm-hmm. And then we released Move, which actually is not on vinyl. Move. We actually only used Move for charities. So we recorded Move, and then it was actually on a comp that Brian's old label, he has since retired it, but he had a label called Sex and Glue Records, or Sex and Glue Label. And he did a benefit for abortion rights. He did a comp called Autonomy Now, a benefit comp for the Bridget Alliance. Mm-hmm. And so I think he did only like, I don't remember exactly how many did. I think he only did like 200 copies of it or 80. It was some smaller amount. But that sold out pretty quickly. And then we also gave that song to the group of Women in the Pit. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
And they did the CD comp called Stronger Together. And that comp also went to a woman's charity. I think that one is actually still available because it was a CD comp that they worked with Upstate Records to
put out. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So we even if you buy it from our Bandcamp digitally, like the money goes to charity. We're big on the charity stuff. We like to try and play. We play a lot of charity shows. I think it's important. You know, this community is important. So we're pretty big on that. It's not a money making business for us. not that we could, but
yeah, but it's other things come with that. You know what I mean? Like there's other, not necessarily currencies, but that's like one of the reasons that I appreciate you and your band so much is because you guys came to play and donated stuff for the best friend I ever had when he died for his benefit show. You know, that stuff, it's not always just, you know, it goes a lot longer. I'm always going to have something for Kirby Kiss because of what you guys were willing to do, you know, first, you know what I mean? Like, I'm saying? Like, it's a different type of currency than just the money.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what I'm getting at, I guess, is that I think the community part of it, like the feeling like, you know, like a show isn't a show because the band is awesome. I mean, it's the crowd, it's the involvement, the camaraderie between the audience. It's caring about, you know, what's going on around you in the scene with people in the scene. So, yeah, like we don't really have too much debate about like we've never said, oh, we're not going to get paid at that show. We're not going. It doesn't mean we haven't paid attention to pay at shows. Cause I think, you know, like there's a scenario where like, you don't want to be taken advantage of.
Sure.
But that's a different scenario than this. Like when it comes to charity shows, we're pretty much always on board to donate our time to any worthy cause. So we've played a pretty good amount. We have three shows in April and two of them are charity shows. So everyone send money because we're not making any money.
Buy the split. Yes, available
buy
now.
Buy the split. We need money.
Anyway, I was getting to the point, I guess, that that's still a lot of releases for a band who's relatively young in age of the band. Not you. You're not.
Yeah, no, we're not young. Yeah.
Which is, but it's all good.
Mentally, we are young. Mentally, we are definitely young.
That's important. Do you find it's more enjoyable being in a band at this point than when maybe you were younger?
Well, when I was younger, like in the '90s, when I was in bands, the whole scenario was a bit different. So like, it's like not an easy question to weigh out completely, but just because the internet wasn't what it was in the '90s, like, you know, in the '90s, like you literally ordered, like you couldn't go listen on, you know, you couldn't stream music. You got word of mouth, like, you know, like the bands that stayed on your couch told you about these other awesome bands. And then you wrote to those bands to get their demo in the mail. And, you know, you read zines that you bought at the show for 20, you know, for a dollar or whatever. So like the information age has changed it a lot for sure. Like with the internet, which is awesome because it makes music so much more accessible and it's made there be so many more bands that you're, you know, tuned into. But I think like work ethic wise, I just feel like, I think when you're younger, and that doesn't mean that all young bands are that, but you just, you have more free time, I think, sometimes, like that you can dedicate to, like, I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say when I say that. But I think for us, it's like, I feel like when I want, like, if I'm going to do something at this point now, like, it's like hard not to treat it as like, I don't want to say work, but like, I guess I have like a work mentality that I like that carries over into the band as right. the rest of us. So we're like, kind of like in our heads, we're like, oh, if we're doing this, let's do it. We want to record. We want to put stuff out. We want to play shows. So, I mean, a lot of people say that. So it's like, oh, you guys are the busiest. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know if we're really the busiest, but I mean, we're doing this because we want to do it. So to me, it doesn't make sense to like half measures. What's the saying? Half measures avail nothing. Or
I don't remember it. So I was just going to let you struggle through it because
I'm definitely struggling.
I do recall the saying you're trying to pull up, but I can't get it either. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess I'm trying to like, if it's worth doing, then it's worth, like, worth doing right. Like, so I guess, I guess that an easy way for me to say it is like, we put, you know, we put all we have into it. Like, so, you know, we want to write and put music out. We like the band is a release for all of us. We all have normal, you know, 9-to-5 lives and children and families. And so this is all of our like collective release. And you know, there's a lot of like, it's a word catharsis, like, you know, it's cathartic for us all. It's like therapy. So, you know, and then for me as an artist, I get to double dip into it because I get to do all the art or whatever and create the packaging. And I really enjoy like the social media part of it. And, you know, it's fun. It's like, I don't want to call it a hobby, but I guess it's not what we're doing for a living. So I guess it is on some level a hobby, but it's more than that to us for sure. But yeah, I guess as long as someone wants to put a record out for us, it makes sense to want to do that.
Well, tell me about Council Records, who does want to put records out for you and continues to put records out for you. Why does that relationship work so well with Council and Kirby Kiss?
You know, I don't know. I think it's just Matt, you know, Matt is a great guy. I don't know anybody who knows him and who doesn't think that. And, you know, he's been that way for you know, almost the entirety of time I've been in the scene. I didn't know him when we were younger, but I'd seen his bands and loved his bands. You know, I saw Current several times. So, you know, it's kind of like, whatever, like just a cool childhood, like not childhood, but like younger me version is pretty stoked that I'm on a label that I admired so much when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But Matt's just really great. He's not really like doing this because he's trying to like make money or like, you know, it's not his normal job. He's a punk. Like he's doing this because he loves music and he wants to put records out, you know, including his own. But, you know, over the time since me and him like kind of got connected through Kirby Kiss, I've definitely become friends with him. We talk pretty regularly. I'm thankful to him for, you know, the part he plays in the band, but also I've gotten the opportunity because of Matt to design several really awesome records for the bands other bands that he's putting out, or, you know, I've gotten to put my hands on some really crazy, like, you know, just stuff I never thought I'd get to work on. Like, you know, I was I'm a huge Ignition fan. So He recently put out the Coffin Pricks record with Chris Thompson, who was in, you know, Ignition and Cirque Lupus and so many bands that are awesome. And so like, I didn't get to design the cover, but I got to do I get to design the insert and the back cover and the rest of it and incorporate the person's art into it. And so like, you know, that's like a little bit of fanboy stuff for me.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's a hell of a perk.
It absolutely is. And so like, you know, and I love that, you know, Matt puts a lot of trust in me to design records for some of the bands that he forms relationships with. So, you know, I don't want to question why Matt puts out records for me. I don't want him to think about it too much and stop.
Right. Fair enough. I understand.
Or not for me, but for us.
Right. Yeah. Hey, whatever works. It works. I know what you mean. The record's been out officially, I guess, in streaming services or available to stream for a month now. Yep. A month exactly.
About that, right?
How has the feedback been?
So the feedback so far has been pretty great. I mean, I hope, you know, from what I've heard, I mean, we've got a lot of really great compliments on the production, how it sounds. Mm-hmm. A lot of input on like what you said, I guess the evolving sound. A lot of people have asked me to explain like, how do you think you're evolving? Or it's a weird question because it's like, I don't know if I really picture it as evolving, even though I use that term. I just feel like it's just the natural progression. Like we just keep writing together. And, you know, I think any band sounds going to change as they go on. So for me, I like to think it's evolving for the better. But I mean, I'm sure there's someone who listens to it and they're like, oh, I wish it all sounded like this. These two songs, but
there's people out there that want every record to sound like it's playing from a boombox out of a cassette. You know what I mean? Like a shitty record, like whatever. And that's fine. People like that stuff. And I like that stuff too, but I also like hearing a progression, an evolution, or whatever you want to call it. I don't mind if a band sounds the same forever either, you know,
but if it's
the important thing is that it's still good or gets better, you know? And I think you guys have done that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I always think about like Fugazi. Like Fugazi, no, I'm not comparing us to Fugazi, please. I'm just saying like there was a ton of people like as Fugazi got older that would be like, oh, what the fuck? This is so artsy. Like, what are they doing? And I'd just be like, what do you think? They want to write Waiting Room over and over and over? Right. These are like four of the greatest musicians in our scene. Like you, like they're going to like start to explore like I feel like, you know, I want to have an open mind. So like, and I know us as a band, when we're writing, we don't ever kibosh anyone's ideas. Like everybody gets to have a say. We'll try everyone's idea. Like there's never like someone who's like, no, this is how it's written and this is how it's staying. Like
that doesn't
work for us. I mean, I'm sure there's bands where like one person writes everything and it works for them, but we'll always try everyone's way first and then vote on how it's going to come, and no one gets pissed off or, you know, stomps out of the room if their way doesn't get voted for. Right. And I'd like to think that the music is better for it. So I guess the most I can say is I like it. So that's
good. That's the most important part in my opinion. So,
yeah. I mean, it's weird to say like, oh, I like my own band, but I mean, you have
I think you better. How can you expect anybody else to?
Yeah. You have to believe in what you're doing. So yeah,
absolutely. Well, this record, Kim, is out now. I guess it sounds like the vinyl is landed at least and will go out.
It's going to start shipping tomorrow. So.
There you go.
So we'll have it at our neck. We'll have it at all of our April shows.
So you already mentioned you have some shows in April and maybe getting to work on writing an LP. But what's ahead for Kirby Kiss?
So for us, we are, like I said, we've got three shows in April. We've got a decent schedule of shows lined up for the rest of the not the whole year's not full, but we've got April and May fully booked for ourselves. Some road trips, some New Jersey shows, some out of state shows. We're going to, you know, we're playing Philly, New York, Connecticut. We're taking June off to focus on the record, on writing a bit. And then in July, we start to pick back up playing out again. We've got a couple of fests in different states booked between now and the end of the year that we're excited about. And then like I said, other than that, we're just trying to write. We're not 100% sure exactly what it's going to be, but I think in our head right now, we really want to do a 12-inch. We've got about I think I'd like to say we're about five songs in. Maybe we're like three full songs and two songs that are almost done in. And then we've got, you know, definitely a handful of ideas between me and Mike that are already and Tommy that are already waiting to start. So, you know, just until the wheels fall off, we just want to keep making music.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Michael Shepherd of Kirby Kiss. The song you heard there was Butterfly Knife. That, of course, also appears on the split with Medicinal, out now, available everywhere on Council Records. I want to thank Michael for his time, for his conversation, for his existence, and I want to thank you for listening this far along. If you like what you heard, please go check out everything the band has to offer. I promise you it's worth your time and attention. Also worth your time and attention is a visit to gettingitout.net. Check out what new releases are coming out today, Friday, April 19th. Tomorrow is Record Store Day, and that doesn't really matter, though I would like a copy of that In Casino out at the drive-in reissue if someone would like to drop that off at my doorstep. Today, the 19th, there are a shitload of brand new releases that are worthy of your time and attention as well. Of course, the first being Taylor Swift. That one's going to be getting the most plays in our house, I guarantee you that. Pearl Jam, have you heard of them? They also released a brand new album today called Dark Matter. And now here's the stuff that I'm really excited about. There's new High on Fire. There's new Whores. There's new My Dying Bride. There's new Bong Ripper, Antichrist Siege Machine, Melvins, The Ghost Inside, See You Space Cowboy, Big Brave, Mariscal X. There's a new Statement of Pride coming out on Youngblood Records today. There is a ton of excellent metal and hardcore and even some good old rock and roll. So while Record Store Day is cool for what it is, if it really is, there's also lots of new music for you to check out. And I suggest you do that. But that's going to be it for this one. So let's end it. And you know what? I'm going to end it with a song from a band. They are from Pennsylvania, Wilkes-Barre to be exact. They've released a couple albums and I've yet to put my finger on what exactly their sound is. And I think they're heading in a different direction than I thought they were. Their new album, All You Embrace, is going to drop May 17th by One Step Closer, a band that used to play hardcore, and I'm not sure if they do anymore. This song is called Orange Leaf, and we're going to leave it at that. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.